Muskegon. Welcome to the Credit Guy Show. I'm Dave Sullivan, a.k.a. the Credit Guy, and we will be helping you to transform your credit.
Now, here's your Credit Guy, Dave.
Hi, everybody. Dave Sullivan here, and wanted to welcome you to the Credit Show. We're on week number six, Lady J. It went by quick.
Yes, it did. Very, very quick.
Yeah. But today we're going to have like the full six steps all in one show, and then the final step. And I really want to talk about, after the break, we're going to talk about the one little trick that I don't really hear anybody else talking about a way to improve their credit quickly right before a loan. And I'll be happy to share that with you. And then next week, now that you have your credit score improved, I want to give you six ways to save money with a better credit score. A lot of people don't realize there are different ways to save money. Once you have a better credit score, or things that might cost you more with a bad credit score that you can now take advantage of your better credit score and save some money. But as always, if you'd like to call in, 231-722-8338. We are brought to you by First General Credit Union, the best credit union in Muskegon. Am I allowed to say that, Lady J?
Yes, you are.
All right, good. So, First General Credit Union, we've got one branch over on Ellis Road and one on Western Avenue downtown. So, we are happy to help you with all your credit unioning needs. If you are looking to improve your credit and you need to add some good accounts, I did actually create a website that, or a product, I should say, that will allow you to quickly improve your credit score. And, we're calling it the Credit Launcher. You can find out more and actually start the process over on our website at 1stgeneral.com. And what this does is it allows you to build good credit quickly. So we're here at step number six. Now I want to cover all of the steps and get you right up to step number six. And I hope that you've been following along all week, because we are right at kind of the end of the process, where you could have taken your credit score really from wherever it was and make, I believe, a pretty substantial improvement to the point where you could probably qualify for a loan if you've been following the steps. So let's go over what the steps were. Step number one was to pull a copy of your credit report. It's important that you pull your credit report from annualcreditreport.com once a year. The reason I say that is if you don't pull your report for free at annualcreditreport.com once a year, there are people who use that software or that website, which is federally mandated, to pull your credit report and then commit identity theft. So as a way of protecting yourself, you should really pull your credit report once a year through annualcreditreport.com. Remember, no cost. Don't buy the scores. Don't buy anything else from that site, but do pull your credit report. Step number two was how to handle collections, and that is a really something that people right now can really mess up, because if you have an old collection and you pay it, you actually make that more relevant to the scoring model. So if you've got a collection from 2 years ago, you haven't paid it, you're not really sure what it was, you pay that collection and you don't negotiate anything for it, it's going to show up as a current paid collection. So you've got a two-year-old collection now showing up as paid current. And under the current FICO scoring model, we are penalized for that. So there are new models coming that don't do that. But right now, Fannie and Freddie, which are the two government-owned enterprises that buy 90% of the mortgages in the country, require FICO 05. And if you pay an old collection, you make it more relevant. Now, there's a few things that you need to do when handling collections. One, realize that if it's with a collection company, they probably bought that for pennies on the dollar. So you are not going to offer the full amount to the collection company when you're trying to get it paid in full. Do not make payment arrangements with a collection company ever. All you're doing is making your credit suffer longer than it would. Any negotiations you have with a collection company should be to end it. So you don't want to have any recurring payments to a collection company, because every month you're giving that a new date reported, and you don't want that. You want the date reported to end, and you want to have to settle it in full. So when you negotiate with them, I always tell people start at 10%, just like church, and then work your way up. You'll probably wind up around 50% of the debt is what they'll probably settle for. And I wanted to tell you, too, if you are negotiating with them, if you wait till the end of the month, closer to the end of the month, they are more willing to work with you because people are commission-based in that industry. So you've got collectors that call all day, and they are commission-based, and they don't make any money unless they bring money in. And at the end of the month is when they are more aggressive to settle things up. So if you negotiate at the end of the month is the best time to do that. The other thing I wanted to talk about collections was there's something called a pay for delete. And a lot of collection companies are hesitant to do that because of their relationship with the repository. The repository is the company that gathers all the information. That's TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. They gather the information together, and then they provide that credit report to you and the creditors. There's a relationship between the collection company and the repository. And if the collection company is constantly reporting things that are in error, if they've constantly got to go back to the repository and say, oh, we reported this one in error and that one in error, then the repository starts to look at them and say, well, you keep reporting all these in error and it's negatively affecting my credit score. So how can I get that corrected? Or how can I get that resolved in a better way? So what you're going to try to do is get a pay for delete. So when you negotiate with them, say, look, I'm not sure what this was. I'm not really going to pay it unless you can validate the credit, the amount that I owe you. And if you can, then I will agree to pay for it, but you have to remove it. And you need to get that in writing. If you don't get it in writing, it's like it didn't happen. So you either do a pay for delete or settle for less than full balance letter. Either way, you get a letter, and then you can use that to close that out of your credit report. Collections is a really delicate subject. So you really need to be delicate in how you handle it because right now it can trip you up. And I hate to have that happen to you right before you apply for a loan. So that's collections. And now we're going to move over to, go ahead.
Oh, I just had a question, just a quick question. In the case of a dispute,
mm-hmm.
What makes the difference between, like, say one of the scores go lower and then the other one goes higher?
So you're talking about disputing something, and why would one score go down and another one go up?
Yes.
Okay. So you have to dispute each item through the specific repository. So you can't dispute it at one and have it go through all of them. So you have to dispute it with each repository.
Right, correct. And okay. That's exactly
what you did.
Exactly.
So when you dispute it, though, it comes out of the scoring model. Is that the one that went up?
Well, there's only two that I'm able to see,
uh-huh.
But one went up significantly. And
was it the one that you disputed?
Well, I disputed all three.
Okay. You disputed at all three bureaus?
Yes.
And only one of the three went up?
Well, as far as I know.
Okay.
So
it's hard to tell without actually seeing the report, but there are differences between how things are reported. So if the one that went up was the one that you disputed, it came out of the scoring model. If it's not, then, I really would have to analyze the report to figure out what changed.
Okay.
So if you put both reports down on the kitchen table and you look line by line at each one,
mm-hmm.
You're going to see what the differences are. And that is where the changes in the credit score will be. So look at them line by line. And that's what I would tell you to do, too, just as a general rule. Pull both credit reports. Don't get a merged report. Get a separate report for each repository.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at how the balances are being reported, what the dates are of the things that are being reported. That's how you figure out what the differences are. And if you figure out those differences, then you can try to address those changes with the other bureau.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. Awesome. So now we're going to, so as we're going through the six steps, pull your credit report, address collections. And I say do that early because then it gives you time to recover. Anybody can really recover from a bad credit score over the course of 6 months. So if you do those two things early, handle your collections up front, then you've got, you know, 4 to 5 months for your credit score to improve. So handle the collections first. Now we're going to move over to good credit. So you want to have 3 to 5 bank credit cards for good credit. 3 to 5 bank credit cards give you the good history that you need to offset some of the negative things on your credit report. You have to think about the scoring model has a mathematical equation. And if you only have negative things in your mathematical equation, then you're not going to score as high as if you have negative and positive things. So you have to outweigh the negative with the good. 3 to 5 bank credit cards. Now, if you have a store credit card, I'm not going to tell you to close it, keep it open. But if you're applying for new, go to a local bank or credit union, preferably a credit union with that reports to all three bureaus like First General does, and see if they have a credit builder program. Now, you have to be cautious when you approach the credit union because many times the employees of the credit union won't know if they report to all three, and most of them don't. So if they don't report to all three, what will happen is you can get 3 or 4 good trade lines on your credit report, but it will only be reported to 1 or 2 of the 3 major repositories. So that's very important. You know, I want to caution you, though, about going to Best Buy or big electronic stores and getting their credit card. Their credit card used to be owned by a company called Household Finance. And Household Finance was labeled as somebody who was less stringent in their underwriting requirements to get a loan or a credit card. So people were going to Household Finance. FICO knew that. So you didn't get the same number of positive points from that type of credit card as you would a bank credit card. So you need to be very cautious. Now, I'm not saying close them out, because you want to have 3 to 5 good accounts that are very old. But if you're applying for new accounts, don't necessarily go and get the big box store credit. Now, what happened with Household Finance was they were sold to Citi. And now Citi has that kind of dual label. Some of their stuff is a store card labeled that way, and the other stuff is labeled as bank. So I almost, it was Chase. It was Chase who did that. Chase bought Household Finance, that financing arm. And now you have to be cautious in between Chase, you know, bank, and Chase, the credit card issuing company. So I want to cautious, give you some concern be cautious about how you handle those type of accounts. So if you're going to go ahead and add accounts, go to a local credit union that reports to all three bureaus and then approach them about getting a credit card. So when we come back, I'm going to have the 3 additional steps. So we've covered 3. We're going to cover 3 more, plus the final step that we haven't covered yet in the show. I'm excited to share that with you. And then next week, don't forget, we're going to have 6 ways to improve your financial situation now that you've improved your credit. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us. I am Dave Sullivan, and I'm here for First General Credit Union. We provide all types of lending and savings accounts here in Muskegon. And if you want to call in live, we do have a call-in line at 231-722-8338. If you want to call in live. But was going through the 6 steps. This is the 6th show that we've done, and wanted to cover all of them and then give you the last one. So now we're going to talk about when to pay bills. As we walk through the process of improving your credit report over a few months, you need to kind of pay your bills on the right date. A lot of times people will pay their bills on the due date, and they'll think that that's a good thing. The problem is, if you're paying on the due date and that's after the reporting date, you're actually going to report a higher balance than you normally maintain. And you're going to report that higher balance through the entire month. So what I tell people is to find their statement date or their reporting date. It's called a few different things by different lenders. But what you're looking for is the date when that information goes from the creditor over to the repository. So if you have balances and they're throughout the month and they're going up and up and your balance is getting close to your high credit, if you pay that on the due date, which is after the reporting date, you're going to report that higher balance. So what you want to do is find that reporting date and bring that balance down, all the way down to 5 to 9% if you can do it. Bring that balance down to 5 to 9% of the high credit right before the reporting date. And then for that entire month, your score will be higher because you are actually reporting a lower balance. So why not pay it off? And I, you know, agree with a lot of stuff that Dave Ramsey talks about. He does not like credit, and I understand that. And if you're just, you know, living your life, you don't want to peak your score, I would say pay it in full before the reporting date. But if you want to get the very best score, if you want to squeeze out the last 10 to 20 points to get the very best rate on a mortgage or an auto loan, what you want to do is pay that down to 5 to 9%. When you pay it down to 5 to 9%, it looks like you're using the trade line. You're using that and actively engaged in it. When it shows zero or even below zero, you don't get the same number of points. You actually lose points because it looks like you're not actively using that account. Even though the reporting date is from the current month, if it's zero, it's not helping you. So find out the reporting date, and there's a lot of different ways you can do that. I tell people, look at your statement. Sometimes it will be right on there. If you use a large institution or even a credit union, it might be right on that statement. You could call the creditor if you're unsure. And I know somebody who calls the creditor every month to find out when is the statement date. And they tell her, and she gets her stuff together right before that date. Another way to do it is if you go online and watch your online banking, you're going to have payments throughout the month. And your current charges, you know, every current charge that you have on there is going to get longer and longer, and you're going to see more and more of them. And then the next day that you log in to your online banking, they're all going to be gone, and they're going to be on the statement. That previous day was the statement date. That was a reporting date. That's the date you want to get everything down as low as possible. So watch the dates. The reporting dates are very important. In fact, this is homework for everybody. What I want you to do is log into your online banking, your credit cards, every day from now until 1 month from now, and then write down your statement date. It's usually pretty much the same day, right around the same day every month. So if it's on the 5th every month, then you can pretty much count that it's going to be the 4th or the 6th or right around there, depending on where the days fall on the week. Usually it's a weekday, but get your balances down as low as possible before the reporting date. Never pay your bills on time again. Pay them before the reporting date. That's really the date that's important. Now we're going to get to removing a 30-day late. So like I said earlier, you want to have 3 to 5 good credit accounts that have never been late and had a long credit history. Now, what's important about that is if you have an account that's maybe had a long credit history and you don't want to close it because you don't want to give up that history, but let's say you had a 30-day late 2 or 3 years ago. If you had a 2 or 3 30-day lates, you can approach the creditor and ask for a favor. So remember, when you're talking to them, you want to approach them on, I would say, a Friday, because people are in good moods on Friday, and you want to ask them for a favor. Say, look, I love my account with you guys. I've been with you for a long time. I really enjoy the benefits of having your credit card, and I want to keep it. But I'm trying to improve my credit score, and I noticed that you had reported a 30-day late on my account from years ago. And I was just wondering if, as a goodwill favor, even though I think that I paid that on time, I hadn't noticed it before, if you would remove that 30-day late for me. Sometimes they'll say no. Sometimes they say yes. If they say no, what do you do, Lady J? What do you think?
Try again.
Try again every time. Yeah. Try on Friday. Try at the end of month. Try on Thursday. You know, try and try again. And they might say no 10 times. If they say yes the 11th time, it didn't cost you anything. You know, the other side of that is if you had an account maybe with a lot of 90 days or 60 days or many of them, and it's not your oldest account, that might be one that you actually have to cut loose. Because you want to maintain 3 to 5 good green accounts that have never been late ever. and with a long credit history. The longer the credit history, the better your score will be. And I think that that shakes out by age. If you look at average scores by age, the older you are, the better score you have. And it's not because they're prejudiced towards younger people. It's just that they have longer credit histories. You can't do anything about that. I mean, you can't get a long credit history when you're 18 unless you have a father who is obsessed about credit and he puts his son on the account. That's one way that you can have a long credit history.
Yikes.
What? You don't like that?
No.
Well, you can help your kids out, you know, put them on your credit card. That's one good way for them to have a long credit history.
Well, I'm just saying it could work both ways.
Yeah, it can.
Yeah.
It can. I mean, you don't want to be put on a card that has had late payments on it.
Yeah.
Right. Or has a high balance, for that matter. But if you, you know, when you think about it, it's good to start early, right? So if you're 18, you're 16, 17, 18, if you can't be put on your parents' credit card, you're going to be applying for student loans. And those student loans are going to carry through with you for life, for life. They can't be removed from bankruptcy. And if you can peak your credit score right before that point somehow, that's great. One way is to get added to an adult's credit card or, you know, a direct relative. It's got to be father, mother, or grandparent. You can't have just somebody. But another way is to just get a good credit card or get a credit launcher program like we have it when you're 18. And believe it or not, in 2 years, you'll have a decent score, provided you pay on time.
Yeah, I was terrified of credit cards when I graduated high school. I was like, no. Yeah. They kept sending me tons of credit cards. I'm like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Those offers you were getting in the mail, probably you didn't want those anyway.
Good. I'm glad I didn't take them then.
Don't. Don't take the offers that they throw at you. I mean, that stuff comes from my daughter all the time, and I pitch it. You know, she doesn't even make it to her because I edit that stuff out. But, yeah, you know, in my a friend of mine who just graduated from high school was in community college. Is now at university, and she was applying for credit. She was applying for her student loans, and her credit score wasn't high enough. And she was 21 or 2, but had she got on that right when she was 18, she would have had a good credit card. Now, I told her about having a parent add you, and they did that for her. But her student loans, like I said, are going to carry on forever, and they're going to be based on the credit score when you apply.
Yes.
So if you ignore credit, and there's a whole generational situation here too, from the aspect that you've seen your parents get in trouble with credit, right? I mean, the kids who are going to college now saw their parents live through 2007, 8, 9, 10, right? It was a hard time for everybody. Some people lost their home. They don't want credit. That's why Dave Ramsey's so popular right now, because he's Mr. Anti-Credit. I disagree with him on this, is that you want to have your credit score. You want to take control of your credit score. You want to have it work for you. You don't have to have debt to have a good credit score. I have a very good credit score. I don't have any debt. I've got one mortgage on a rental property that I'm not paying. I think Ramsey counts that as not actually my debt. And then the other credit card I've had for years and years, and I don't keep a balance on it. In fact, right now I have a credit balance on it. So you don't need to have debt to have a good credit score. You just need to have a consistent pay history, and that's a long credit card. The longer, the better. And, you know, 0 or 5 to 9%, depending on what you're trying to do, is the best thing. So I would tell you to go to a local credit union. To tell you the truth, before I worked for them, I didn't realize all the benefits. And I've been in the mortgage industry for over 20 years, and I didn't realize that, you know, they pay higher savings. They pay lower on credit card interest rate. We've got a credit card interest rate that's 8%, and you can have free balance transfers on it. I think it's great. I think it's a great option. People don't realize it. And I think, you know, I'm going to be moving all my money over to a credit union, and that's because I'm afraid of the big banks. The too big to fail banks, I believe, are going to fail again. And if my money is in with them,
it's gone.
Those things are locked down. Yeah. I mean, they're insured by the government, and that's great. But those accounts are going to be locked down. I want to have my money where I own the place, and that's what a credit union is. I own that place, and they're going to be open. And they're also insured the same as a bank, but I just feel better, I think, having my money in a credit union.
I definitely agree.
Yeah. So, and I'm late to the game. I'm almost 50, and we've got, and I've really not done anything with a credit union at all up until this point. So, Yeah. All right. So when to pay bills, and now we're kind of getting to what I wanted to talk about. So we're at the sixth step. So we've talked about pulling your credit, how to handle collections, what to do with good credit, removing a 30-day late. Now we're talking, and we've talked about when to pay bills. Now the last step, before you go to a mortgage lender, which, by the way, First General Credit Union, we're doing mortgages now too. Before you go to a mortgage lender, you need to resolve all the disputes. You can't have any open active disputes, because when you apply for a mortgage, if you have an open active dispute, they're going to want it removed before they close. And I'm talking about a mortgage that goes to Fannie and Freddie, which is the government-owned companies that do 90% of the mortgages. So you want to make sure that those disputes are removed. If they're open and active, they come out of the scoring model, and you might not realize that your score is actually kind of artificially inflated because they're marked as in dispute. And that's why Fannie and Freddie want them removed, is because it's artificially improving your credit score more than it really should be. So remove the disputes, very important. And once we get the show up on the website, I'm going to have the links for all of the – I've got direct to dispute removal instructions and the link right to get them removed. People who apply for a mortgage and have an open active dispute, it can cost the mortgage lender $35 per dispute per bureau to get them removed. And what people don't realize is they can do it on their own for free just as fast. But they don't have the link to get over there. They don't have the instructions. They don't have the phone number. I put all that together, and we'll get it on 1037thebeat.com at some point when we get the show up. But or you know what? Let's put it on the Facebook page.
Sounds good.
All right. Lady J is going to help me with that. And so watch the Facebook page for 103.7 The Beat, and we will give you those instructions. Now, one more kind of very cool tip right here at the end. People don't realize that their utilities are being reported on their credit report. And they're not always being reported on the credit report, but sometimes and many times I've found that their utility for their home, like their gas bill, their electric bill, is being reported on their credit report has an installment account. Now, I believe that they made it an installment account to lessen the impact of the variations between your heating and cooling bills, right? So if you have, so let's say it's the middle of winter, like it is here now in Muskegon. So let's say it's the middle of winter and your heating bill is up high near the high credit. Well, that, if it was a revolving account like it actually is, if it was reporting as revolving, that would negatively impact your credit score considerably because you've got a revolving account showing at the high balance. But by reporting it as an installment account, they lessen the impact of that on your credit score. An installment loan that's maxed out is not nearly as detrimental as a revolving account. So as a strategy to peak your score right before the loan, you're going to, especially in winter or summer, you're going to try to get your utility bills paid in advance. So if you can pay down your utility bills so they only report a small amount at that time. So that's a trick that I don't think I've heard anybody else talk about. But if your utility bills are reporting and it's winter or summer and they're up near the high credit, pay those down a little bit early, not the whole thing, not so it shows zero. But I mean, again, if you can get it, it's hard to do on that because you don't know exactly what it's going to be. But if you know, in the winter, my bill's $150 a month, pay $100, let them report the 50 on the next reporting date. So we all know what that is, right? Then it will report low on the installment and you can peek out just another 10 or 15 points. And, you know, I said on earlier shows, if you're at 680, you used to think that was good. But if you can get to 700, you get a much better rate. And if you can get to 720, you get a better rate on a mortgage. And it goes all the way up to 760 now. And it's very easy to be somebody who has a credit score at 720, who pays all their bills on time, but has a little bit higher balances on their utilities and their credit cards. They could get to 760 and save thousands on their mortgage, hundreds a month, just by following these few steps that I try to share here on the scope and on the radio show. So I hope that helps, Lady J. Was that good? We got all the way through it.
Oh, yes. That was very, very informative.
Good. So like I said, jump over to Facebook page, and we'll go on Facebook Live, too, here coming up. And I wanted to mention, too, next week, now that you've got your credit score in shape, we're going to talk about six ways you can save money on your regular bills now. And you don't have to, you can actually take advantage of your credit without actually getting a loan.
Nice. That's very nice. I would really love to hear that one right
there.
Awesome.
Well, Lady J, thanks for being the future award-winning producer, Lady J.
You are far too kind.
Yeah. And we look forward to talking to you next week.